You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108. Niamh Shulman, good evening to you.
Good evening.
I suppose we'll start by explaining exactly what is a catfish.
Well, the Urban Dictionary definition would suggest that a catfish is someone who creates fake online profiles to pursue romantic relationships.
Okay. And I'm given to understand that you were the victim of a catfish. What happened?
Well, that's right. Prior to the film Catfish and the term catfish, I was involved in what turned out to be a nine-month online relationship with an entire family who turned out to, in fact, just be the imagination of one woman.
Wow. 9 months.
Yeah, well, you know, it started off very sort of innocently. I got an email from a very young girl who had seen my photography website and was taking an art class and was wondering if she could use my photos as the subjects of some of her paintings. So, of course, it was charming. And before I knew it, a week or so later, I had an envelope in the mail of a little painting from this girl. And, of course, I had spoken to her mom. Anyway, weeks went on, and I continued to be more and more in touch with the family and the babysitter and the friend down the street and the brother, and then eventually this girl's older sister, who I was very attracted to and with whom I began sort of, you know, flirting via text and email.
Okay, fair enough. So the relationship developed that way organically online, as it were.
That's right. It slowly sort of grew and progressed over the course of about 8 months, at which point, or during which, my brother, who is a filmmaker, and his business partner, Henry, they sort of took notice of this interesting story unfolding before them and chose to film a little bit of it as it happened. And then when a couple things that they had told me didn't add up and I looked into something a little bit more closely, I discovered that they had, in fact, lied to me about something.
Yeah.
It was a small detail, but it was enough to get me curious.
A couple of things. I suppose your brother, when he started filming you, it was with a view towards kind of seeing how love can blossom online and that the denouement would be they meet and see how the relationship progresses from there. Was that the original intent of it?
Yeah. I mean, my brother will tell you that I think his projected outcome of filming my relationship and phone calls would at the very most be a sort of funny short film to show at my future engagement party.
Brilliant. Absolutely. The embarrassed Niamh video, I get it.
Exactly.
And come here, like, the other question I had for you is, how did you wait so long before meeting up? Like, were you not impatient? If you were falling in love with this person, were you not impatient to meet beforehand, or was it difficult for you guys to meet up maybe because there was geography between you?
Right. Well, what gets left out of the film, along with lots of other pieces of the story, is that I had, in fact, made plans to meet up. I had very much wished to meet face-to-face. I had made plans to go up to Michigan to see them, which got canceled because one of them had to leave town with the dad for some kind of art fair, and so since they weren't all going to be there, they told me I should wait until another weekend.
Right.
And then they were supposed to drive down from Michigan to New York, but their car broke down halfway
the old art fair excuse.
So it kept getting pushed back, and I was busy, and they were busy, and, you know, eventually I just sort of said, okay, this is ridiculous. We're never going to both agree on a time that works for both of us. So I said to my brother and to Henry, I think we should just go. We should just show up and see what happens.
What happened when you did?
Well, so we rolled up to these people's home, not knowing who we'd find, how many people we'd find, and if, in fact, the girl of my dreams would be standing behind the door. And like I said, you know, instead of finding 14 different people living in this town, we found a 40-year-old woman married with children who had spent a huge amount of time over the past 8 months creating all of these profiles and personalities. and communicating with me on two cell phones using two different voices, and had really sort of lost herself in this very elaborate web of lies.
And this was caught on camera, first meet.
And what's even crazier is that we caught it all on camera. We gave this woman, Angela, an opportunity to explain herself.
What did she say?
And show us a little bit about why she got so involved in this hoax. And then we spent a year and a half figuring out the most effective way to retell the story, and that's what the film Catfish is.
Yeah, and then it led to this MTV show that started last Monday here in Ireland. So you then kind of went, after having pursued other people's stories, victims like yourself, like, how did you feel towards Angela now having heard a whole bunch of stories similar to yours?
Well, I think my feelings towards Angela, they never are completely finished. Like anything organic, they change.
Yeah.
I have periods of time where I think about my relationship and I feel very angry about it. Generally, I'm mostly confused. But I think in the end, my feelings towards Angela are, strangely enough, gratitude. Because not only did I personally learn and grow from the experience, but it's really led me to a place now where I'm in a position to help people on an international scale to be more aware of the very real possibility and danger of engaging in, you know, intimate online relationships with people that you don't actually know.
How did Angela respond to you when you confronted her first?
Angela's response was very controlled. She is very bright, very creative, and not surprisingly has the innate ability to very effectively and quickly come up with a lie. She's able to look you right in the face and without any preconception come up with something very convincing in a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But she was very sort of calm and collected throughout the entire exchange, and continues to be, as so far as I know her.
Yeah. In a weird coincidence, or maybe not, this week, and it's a story that's made this side of the water as well. You've got the Manti Te'o story, the Notre Dame footballer who. Well, so everyone believes there's this fictionalized girlfriend that ended up getting in a car crash and dying of leukemia on the same day as his grandmother died. But and to date, I'm looking and the press seem as perplexed as anybody as to what the motivation here, what happened. But you reckon that there might be something a little closer to home?
Well, it's impossible to predict, as hard as we may try, the complexity and infinite possibility of human motive.
Yeah.
As an animal, we are very strange and unpredictable. And, you know, I don't think, based on what I've seen, that this is a particularly unusual circumstance. I mean, I've been more exposed than most, but the story of Manti Te'o and his online girlfriend mirrors almost eerily others who people have reached out to me for help with.
So your best guess is that this online girlfriend is a catfish?
Yes, if I had to take sides in this matter, which I'm, you know, try not to do, my guess would be that in fact someone did create this entire world, including this girlfriend, for Manti Te'o to engage with. And they really were, again, for whatever reason is yet to be seen, going into this relationship with him, you know, with no intention, of course, of ever meeting in real life, and maybe just to have a little fun.
Yeah. Because is that the motivation for Angela? Is that she might have been Machiavellian in her deceit and so clever enough as to be able to kind of boldface lie? But that's, I suppose, because she wants to avoid exposure. But the thing that motivated her to do it, you described a 40-year-old woman who was married. Is it just boredom? Is it that she would like to have online fantasy sex? What's the, like, what do you think is her motivation and other catfishes?
Right. Well, you know, with Angela, as it was explained to me, it started off very innocently as a way for her to get what she hoped would be positive feedback on her new hobby, which was painting. And she originally started a MySpace page for her artwork, honestly, as herself. And of course, a number of the comments were negative, saying, you know, hey, you're a little too old to be picking up paintbrush, give up, which is not what she wanted to hear. So yeah. She said, well, maybe if I tell people that paintings are by an 8-year-old, they'll think a little bit more about them.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And she had hundreds of people following her MySpace page and loved the attention and the positive energy she was getting from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when she reached out to me and I responded with such enthusiasm, I don't think her intention was ever to create a cast of characters and lure me into a romantic relationship, but I think it got bigger than she thought. She got carried away, and she used it as an escape, as a means to live out a fantasy life for herself, which she knew she would never be able to achieve.
And when you got the opportunity to make the MTV program and you started investigating other people who've been victimized by catfish, two questions. The first one is did you find that it happened far more frequently than you thought? And second of all, were the motivations similar to Angela's?
You know, again, the it's motivation is such a interesting and unclear area.
Yeah.
But what is shocking is that as soon as people started seeing and hearing about the film, started getting lots and lots of emails, mostly from people who had, over the past 10 years, for some period of time, been in an online relationship of significant emotional connection. And then at some point, the relationship had ended abruptly. They'd never heard from the person again. And they'd been hanging on to this strange feeling and connection, and always wondering, who was that person? Why did they disappear?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Could they be the love of my life?
Yeah.
And telling me that they wish they had some form of closure.
Yeah.
Because they never knew who it was. They never understood the motives. And they have this big question mark in their life that they have a hard time getting over. So that's really what I try to do with the show.
Did you find a lot of victims?
Well, yes, we do, and I get a lot of contact from people who tell me that they discovered, in fact, the person they were talking to wasn't who they said they were. Sometimes it's small details, and sometimes it's enormous details, rather just completely opposite descriptions. So it goes both ways, and motives are anything from simply being unhappy with the way you look, perhaps feeling like there's something about yourself you'd like to change, maybe your career, where you live, be a little bit more glamorous. We see people who are exploring their sexual identity, who might think they're gay and don't want to come out publicly, so they, you know, communicate with people of the same sex online to sort of see how that feels. And then we've seen people whose sole motive was revenge, angry ex-girlfriends or foreign lovers who use this online identity to mess with the other person.
I have to say, Niamh, your story is fascinating, as is the program. Niamh Schulman, producer and face of the MTV program Catfish, thanks very much for talking to us this evening.
Thanks a lot.
That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.